Certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Pezzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Money Matters. And of course, I like to do this once in a while where I just can sit down and something's really in my head. And I just want to share some thoughts with you about the negativity of the world, of the markets. And I know we talk about it a lot, but there are a lot of things going on right now, and I really want to kind of dive into a few of these thoughts. But also then in the second half of this hour, I have an interview with Kevin Miller. So I thought it went well. It's fun to do, and it always is fun being with Kevin. So I'm going to talk here. This is recorded for the first hour today, but I'll be live in the second hour. So get your questions, start your emails, whatever you like. But it's dave@petsofinancial.net is the email address, dave@petsofinancial.net. And obviously later on we'll give you the phone number to call in during the second hour, because again, I will be live. But right now I just want to share a few things, and then again in the second half hour of the first hour, if I'm saying that correctly, I think so, then we'll have an interview with Kevin Miller, of course, 580 a.m. morning host. So we say sell in May and go away. Sell in May and go away. That sounds cool, right? That's a great bumper sticker, a good tweet. And markets are like, you know, they work that way. But they don't. They don't. And also, it's interesting how statistics lie and liars use statistics. It's also interesting how we accept certain things as, well, that sounds right. Or if somebody says it well, we just simply accept it. That it's some kind of a truth. And as we look at these things, it's important to actually dissect them a little bit. So you may see this chart around where sell in May and go away. Okay, thank goodness the first day of May was up. Otherwise, we'd have heard even more of this nonsense. But here is the fact. Over the past 50 years, selling in May and staying out of the market was a good idea, it looks like. It looks like. Because the actual return is minus 0.1. You'll see that chart. But the return from November to April is 7.5. Now, the first question I had when I looked at the chart was, well, that's really weird. That's just because overall, isn't that like, you know, less than 8% return in a market that's actually done 10? I don't, what am I missing? So you start looking at it, and you realize that mathematically, you may get a minus 0.1, but the reality is when you add dividends in to both numbers, you do have positive numbers for owning stocks in all periods. And I'm not really sure if from the 13th of May to, say, the 13th of October might even be better. But it could be that you should do it from 7 a.m. on a Monday morning of the first Monday in May until November. Seriously, we slice, dice, parse it up, and then present 50 data points. 50. 50. As a strategy? Really? Really? And then when you add in the tax consequences of zigging and zagging, or the very fact of the lunacy that the market is based on the calendar. Really? Is that what we think? Seriously, numerology reigns supreme. The squiggly here, the death squiggly above the little squiggly, the 5-second line crosses the 50-day moving average line, and it's the death of a company that is making soap. Really? And how are vast fortunes made? Trading? Or owning great corporations compounding over time? Like Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Michael Price have shown us. So the world is full, jammed full of all these incredible ideas of how to trade. And it's all negative all the time. Seriously, when I started in the industry, I don't know, 35 years ago, there was the Trilateral Commission. We had budget deficits. That was going to kill us. Then we had a market crash in 87. Guess what? 87 was actually an up year. No kidding. But let's focus on that. Last year, I had several people ask me about, because it's all over the internet. You know, Joe Jones, who's, you know, talked about the world ending, the collapse, the whatever of the economy for decades, never right, but everybody's really sure now, because House Bill 24, whatever it was, 2456, whatever it was going to destroy the dollar. Weird, but on July 2nd, and every month since, I've actually used dollars. I don't know. It was frustrating for me because I'd converted everything into rubles and gold, and none of the stores would take it, so I had to finally give up. Seriously, this is what goes as, I think I need to find out some more information about that. Why we would click on that? It's absolutely no different than clicking on pornography. Seriously, this is going to teach us what? Certainly not. Ask your wife, is that a good thing? That's all. That's all. Just ask. Look, it's financial pornography, but we embrace it. We ask it. What about the Trilateral Commission? What about George Soros and the gang of three or five people that are hanging out, puppet masters of the world? What about them? What about them? What about all of those conspiracy theories? All of the certainty. So the market crashed in 87. Everybody lines up to tell everybody it's going even lower. Of course it doesn't. So we go from 3,000 back to 1,700, back through 2,000, back through 3,000, back through 4,000, back through 5, 6, 7, 10, 15. Whoops, boom, bang, we get a hit. And now everybody's doing what? What we know isn't worth knowing. I'll go into that in the second segment here. But we know it's time to buy tech stocks. Because it's all about eyeball views. Everybody's making money. Just go buy stocks. So everybody buys stocks. Crash. Everybody buys real estate. Crash. Everybody buys gold. Crash. Seriously. But it's Wall Street's problem. It's not you. It's not me. No, we're behaving really well. We do this so good. No, we don't. No, we don't. Knock it off and quit looking for a boogeyman around every corner. People do. They spend hours and hours and hours. Instead of engaging with their grandchildren, starting a business, thinking forward, being positive, actually embracing the fact that the world has never been more abundant than it is today. Not even close. Not even close. The fact that we are going to live longer, healthier, more vibrant lives. Yeah, but. I know, there's lots of yeah buts. Keep throwing them on there. It'll make yourself happier. I'm sure you'll be happier, healthier, and you'll be so much fun to hang around when you yeah but everything that's good in your life. There are problems. There will be market corrections. But the only way to perceive and invest correctly is to quit finding a boogeyman in every corner. Who starts a business when they know it's all going to end badly? They don't. Who encourages their kids when they think the world is ending? It's way bigger than just hanging on to stocks. It's way bigger than making sure that your pension is adequate. I know you think. Couldn't possibly be bigger than that. And it's important. You got to get that right. And we do. We do. But why is it that we have to believe that, you know, quotes, I see this all the time, is something like this. Expert breaks silence. Market's going to tank. Expert breaks out. What expert? Just expert. Wow. You know what I do? I need to click on that ad over there and descend into some world of the world is ending doomsday reports. Buy gold. Buy this. Buy my newsletter. We'll get through this coming crisis together. Fear sells. But all this other stuff is such noise. Such noise. Sell in May and go away. What kind of a tax treatment would you have on a portfolio like that? It would wipe you out. Wipe you out. So you sell your Apple in May and go away. Really? You sell your P&G, your Johnson & Johnson, your Chevron, your Exxon, and you go away. Really? And then we come back. Well, we'll come back with a lot less because we've got to pay taxes on it. What are you going to put your money in the meantime? All these questions are the absurdity of the whole thing. And it really is this. Is the world a little more complicated than sell in May and go away? Is the world more dynamic? Are corporations more dynamic? Adjustable? Or is it really down to, here we go, guys. No, you know what? Everybody's going to sell in May and go away. So maybe I'll sell in April 23rd and go away. But after careful analysis, I think it should be April 22nd. Only at noon, though. At noon on April 22nd. That's the best time when I mine for data. It's not simple. It's not easy. It's complex. It's complicated. And yet it is simple, right? Buy the great corporations. Don't be freaked out. Think long term. Be patient in an impatient world. And understand this. Fear sells. Fear sells. Everybody knows you can't have stock market returns without risk. But that's what they'll tell you. That's what they'll tell you. And they'll put you in an equity index annuity. Yeehaw. And it won't work. It won't work. It will not work. Your money won't go away. But that's okay, because what you are is really fearful. So all of this stuff is geared to sell you by fear on something. Newsletter, gold, equity index annuities, all of it. Fear. Simple, easiest, best investment. But you got to hang on, because it can be rough at times. We got to hang on. All right, I got to talk about what isn't worth knowing, right? What you know isn't worth knowing in the next segment. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's place to talk. Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks again for joining us and putting up with a little bit of a recording. I just got some things that, if you will, are kind of on my heart. I don't mean to be frustrated about all the negativity out there. I guess sometimes get wound up and passionate about the idea that people are scared that shouldn't be scared, or are focused on the wrong things, like temporary price fluctuations. When the reality is we go to the store and we go, wow, I love that sweater over there. I hope so nobody takes it, right? I've heard people like take it and they put it on, they kind of hide it underneath the other sweaters, right? On a rack. I've heard of that, right? Well, I what I'm thinking of is like if we're honest with ourselves, why can't we do that like with Apple, right? So, I'm not touting Apple here. It's just like the biggest corporation in the world. So can I use a current example, all right? And again, just to reiterate, no, you should not buy Apple because I said so. You shouldn't buy Apple because anybody says so. I don't know what your portfolio looks like. That's just silly. This is just an example. Right now, like right now in the news, okay? So Apple comes out with unbelievably good earnings, right? We know. I mean, this, we go back in the fourth quarter. It's like we can't even believe what the Apple iPhone 6 has done. 75 million users, right? It's just like, or sales, crazy. And that, no, they'll never back that up. Well, they came out just a little while ago with their first quarter, and it was so much better than expected. And sales had skyrocketed in China and places that people thought, well, China, that Apple was way behind. Okay, so the stock, you know, jumps, and then it starts coming down. Because we're like in this funky period now, a little bit of pressure on it and stuff like that. So what should I do with my Apple, right? What's happened? No, you know, you bought it even a few years ago. It's gone up a lot. They raised their dividend, buying back stock. And now, if you want, because let's say you didn't get in, and you want to get into this pretty sweater over here called Apple, and they just marked it down a little bit. Is there anything wrong with it? No, according to the last releases, nothing wrong with it. But suddenly, people don't like it, and they knock it down 10, maybe 15%. Other stocks have, in a, even the minor correction, can fall 15 or 20%. Nothing wrong. They're not tainted. But what do we do with that? You know what people do tend to, right? Here's what we do. You know, the market's down like 5%. So ugly. It's got to be going. It's going to be about 7, 8, 10. I just heard, you know, David Stockton. I mean, he's just talking because you can't pick a number or more negativity than him right now. A famous guy who's quoted everywhere about doomsday. Okay? So David Stockton says we're going down X percent more. Okay. Well, you know, I should probably wait. I mean, why would I want to buy now? And we wait. Stocks bounce.
You're listening
and
to the 5 minutes.
You know, between, I don't know. I make up a number. 150. And then it'll pull back, you know, I don't know, 140. And it'll go, I don't know, is it going to give back? You know, yeah. Really? Okay. So we go through the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. So people say, I want to get in on a dip, and they don't pull the trigger because the pain of being wrong is so strong for people. Really? That's like walking up and saying, I think it's going to be black and just being devastated when it's red on a roulette wheel. You don't know what day the market's going to turn. But the difference with that is that you're buying great corporations, and the odds are in your favor. You're the casino. You're not a gambler unless you're trading. And you don't know what you're doing. Buying great corporations, holding them, I know it's easier said than done, but you can do it. Now, I want to touch on this before we get to the interview with Kevin. And again, I'm going to be live in the second hour, so shoot those emails, dave@petsofinancial.net. I actually like to hear from people, too. Do you like it when we take a segment, you know, maybe 30 minutes, maybe the whole hour, and really dive into something? You know, it's a recording. I got that. But do you like that? Once in a while, like a big, long education segment? I want to know that. So shoot those over, dave@petsofinancial.net, and get ready for the calls because I am live in the second hour. So I do want to talk with you. What we know isn't worth knowing. Now, I know, that's my number one investment commandment. I love talking about it because it's a reminder to me what I know isn't worth knowing. It's so in the press, right? It's out there. It's priced in, if you will, right? We already know all the stuff in the world. We already know what's going on. We think we know stuff, but we don't know because it's already priced in. So oftentimes a company announces terrible earnings, and the price can go up or reverse that. Like in Apple's case, great earnings. Yeah, but and because expectations maybe they've been met, but maybe now we're trading it. It's all short-term nonsense. But what we know isn't worth knowing. Here's an example, okay? And it can be flat wrong. Everybody knew when oil was in the mid-40s, it was going down, maybe as low as $20 or $30 a barrel. But everybody knew that. And everybody knew when oil was at 120, it was going to 150 or 200. Everybody knew that. They knew wrong. They knew dead wrong. But here's the worst part of it. Okay, so I was wrong, it didn't go up. Well, it's already like oil companies, energy companies are priced for that. So even if it kept going up, they wouldn't have been making any more money. Not for you as a stockholder. They would have made more money for the corporation, but the corporation had been bid up prior to that. further, we take these stories and it's all negative all the time. Totally all negative all the time. We're very worried about oil going down. You know what's going to happen in the oil patch. There's going to be bankruptcies everywhere. Bankruptcies of banks. Bankruptcies of the production companies. All over the place. High-yield bonds. That's going to collapse probably the whole high-yield market. Because, after all, like 15% of it in the most recent and the highest-yielding stuff, that's in the oil patch. It's dead. And as far as the economy, forget it. The only real employment in this country has been like our oil expiration. And it's the end of Americans' exploration. These companies just, that's it. Back to the Dust Bowl, basically, throughout all the Bakken and all that stuff. Now, we turn the page. Oil prices are up. What's going on? What's going on? I don't know what's going on. I'm just scared to death of inflation. The same people. The same people. How can we have clarity when we just sit and hunker down? And we say, oh, I got to know more. I got to learn more. I want to click on the expert over here. I want to click on the pretty girl that says, you know, you won't believe this is going to happen to the U.S. economy. I don't know what the pretty girls do with it, except we all like pretty girls. And so maybe we'll click on the pretty girl. Bizarre. Absolutely incredible that we go there and dwell in investment hell, if you will. This is what we do. But that's going to help me add clarity to my investments. It takes us so far from the truth. What you know isn't worth knowing. And digging deeper into it does not add more clarity. It makes you clever by half. You know a lot of stuff. Nothing that's worth knowing. And you can't pull the trigger because you've got analysis to paralysis. But you're smart. You think. Sometimes the smartest are those that know a little. Have the patience, as Pascal says. Man's problems stem from the fact that he can't sit alone in a quiet room by himself. It is hard, but you can. You can. I swear we can. We can sit on our hands, and that's the key. Be patient. All right. We're back here with Kevin Miller after this break, and then second hour, I Am Live. I hope you'll hang on, and we'll be back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Good to have you with us. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Dave Petzo with us. And, you know, from time to time, we go back to, you know, talking a little about some generic issues, one being, something that impacts all of us, the economy and housing and what this year is going to look like. Remember, the last year it was a golden market for real estate here in the Treasure Valley. I think those numbers are almost impossible to maintain, but joining us now, our great friend from Money Matters, Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, Petzo International, Petzo on Twitter, Petzo on Facebook. Dave Petzo.
Great to be here, Kevin.
Yeah.
I just want to get. Can you come to my house and like introduce me every morning?
You know,
can you imagine I would just bounce out of bed like that, right? It'd be like.
I will do that. We'll go to the Petzo Center. I'll just be your opening act there.
That's it. In fact, all I need really is a recording. That'll be okay. And that way you can go about your work because you're already here working when I hit the alarm, right?
Yes, sir. Here's something from USA Today. A new survey of American workers from the Trans-America Center for Retirement Studies found that 82% of the respondents age 60 and older either are or expect to keep working past the age of 65. Among all workers, regardless of age, 20% expect to keep on working as long as possible in their current job or similar. Is this a similar one? Is this a good sign, or is this just showing us how retirement age, retirement lifestyle has changed?
To me, it's both. It is. I think it's a great thing. I really do. Again, I look at this more optimistically than some, and certainly the media. As you know, Kevin, we talk about this all the time. Media is by definition, whatever negative spin we can put on something. And so the negative spin would be very simply, people can't afford to. And that's true. They, for the most part, people have done a very inadequate job, by and large, of saying, I want to retire at age 60 and saving enough for that. But here's the good news of it. Here's a, to me, that's just this tiny little piece where we're looking to whine about something. The big picture is this. People are living so, so long. And they're not just living long like they're dying in a nursing home somewhere. They're really old, and why are they still here? It's not that. It's because, you know, we all talk about the new 70 is the old 50. It's people are, in fact, living healthy, vibrant, active lives, and they want to keep engaged at work as long as it's work that fulfills them. But there is no reason to think that you are born in America and have a God-given right to retire at age 62 just because back in the day when people died before they were 70, almost nobody made it to age 62 or 65 anyway. And now, though, we have a long life expectancy, which last I checked was a good thing. It was a wonderful thing that we're living longer, healthier lives. So working longer makes sense. It doesn't make sense that we would be able to be retired longer than our work time. So I think that whole thing to me is good. It's changing. It's changing for all good reasons in my mind, and that is that people want to be fulfilled and engaged in the world, as well as the fact that they're healthy and really want to keep going.
Well, and we, as you've said here at 580KIDO, we have redefined age. In the old days, we had folks where you're from, where I'm from, and people here in Idaho and across America, you'd work in the mines, you'd work in the mills, and you were spent by the time you were 65. You'd have maybe 5 or 10 good years. And
you lived.
Right. And we talk about it now where people are, you know, life expectancy is going through the roof. People are going to say, you know, this new generation, you could live up to be 120. Plus, as you've talked about, with not only the reforms in preventative maintenance, but now perhaps if you blow out an organ, there's going to be a new one right there for you.
Yeah, exactly. You grow your own. You have 3D printing or little robots running around our bodies. I mean, there's so many things that are coming. And people go, oh, gee, this is just crazy. You know, it's not crazy. You know what's crazy? A car could drive itself. That's what we would have said. 5 years ago, 5 little years ago, you would have said, that's just crazy that like a company like Google is going to make a car that's done 1,000,000 miles. Yes, that's right. The car that drove by you the other day with nobody in it, it had nobody in it. There wasn't. 1,000,000 miles, not around a parking lot, out on the real streets.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. You know, I go back to this, and I don't know if you caught it this week, the guy from Tesla. And not only is he making cars, he's come up with this, like, energy box, supposedly, that he claims will revolutionize the energy field, much to the chagrin of the power companies, where I guess you can stick this thing out in your yard, it's powered by solar, mm-hmm. and it rejuvenates itself, and eventually, you're going to, if you want to be, you can be completely off the grid, and whether it's Tesla with cars or this new source,
yep.
We're really looking at the beginning of a brave new age of technology.
We are, and on so many levels, Kevin. You think about how people, because of course the human brain thinks linear and not exponentially, but technology is exponential. So you look at how much we need for power is diminishing because of technology. It's not just that we're getting other outlets. We are using it more conservatively in everything. We get more power. You have to think about LED lighting, all of these things, so that pretty soon we are down to a reasonable generator, solar thing, whatever it is, wind, that can store enough energy to easily drive houses. Imagine what that does for people who want to live remotely.
Right.
You know, where what would it cost us to drive a power line all the way out to this ranch, you know, several miles? Well, it could be $100,000 or more, right? And that's not going to be the case anymore. I think it's very, very exciting.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. We've talked about this last week, and we actually are seeing this go up, the return of gas prices around $3 a gallon, the barrel price continues to fluctuate,
mm-hmm.
and just looking at the headline from oilprice.com, the return of peak oil, worrying signs from U.S. and Russia. So I thought that if the oil prices are low, that's a good thing for us.
It is. I'm sorry, Kevin. It depends on what we're reporting, because you know, this is what I tweeted out yesterday, right? Okay.
So you tweeted.
I did. I'm learning from the master.
Welcome to the world, brother.
I know. I'm trying. Actually, I've got some good folks at the office that put the whip to me to come up with it. But, you know, I probably have to paraphrase this a little bit because I don't have it in front of me. But high oil, bad. Low oil, terrible. You can't have it both ways, but that's what the news does. That's what pundits do. They're always screaming and yelling either direction. I thought lower prices was good too, Kevin, but at the same time, everybody's concerned about or screaming and yelling about the fact that oil at $50 a barrel must be going to 30, must be going to 20. That's the end of expiration for oil in America. It's end of all the jobs. The Texas banks are going to go bankrupt. The high-yield bond market, because it's so energy-dependent, is going to collapse. That was absolutely the certainty of the moment. The exact same people are now running around trying to find a reporter to put a pen in, you know, or a microphone in their face so that they can tell them that it's absolutely horrible and it's going to destroy the economy, the prices are moving higher. We can't have it both ways. I like the balance, and traders move money around, and so whether oil ought to be at $60 a barrel, it ought to be at $55, is just fussiness. It's silly behavior. We have just come off of the Berkshire Hathaway meeting.
Right.
I just want to quickly mention this. Because
Warren Buffett.
Yeah, and I shared this last week, but I think it warrants, he had his 50th year that he ran the company. The company has run from $8 a share when he started in 50 years to $215,000. Now, you say, well, what does that look like? Let's put that in dollars. $1,000, one $1,000 investment is $25 million. Wealth is not traded around whether a barrel of oil is going to go up or down $5. You shouldn't own oil companies based on whether you think the next move is $5 or $10 up or down, because you're going to be wrong. But the reality is buying great corporations, putting them in portfolios, and holding them for decades
is
how
real wealth is. It's easier said than done, especially, well, you quit the tweeting, the Facebooking, the radio ads, everything else going on where, you know, instant wealth, this, that, and the other, I can teach you how to trade. We're bombarded by it.
That's right. Well, and that's what I'm going to talk about this weekend, too. This, you know, it's one of those things. We are bombarded by it. It's something, I shouldn't say this weekend. Kevin, I talk about it every weekend.
You do.
It's something we have to try to. It is easier said than done. It is the easiest, hardest game in the world. It is so, so hard for people to ignore the news. But it shouldn't be. This is the evidence of just buying great corporations and holding them for long periods of time, is that's what all of the great investors have done. Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Michael Price, John Templeton, none of them were traders. In fact, the Trading Hall of Fame, the famous, you know, wealth-creating Traders Hall of Fame doesn't have anybody in it. This back and forth nonsense is nonsense. If you like to gamble, then figure out a way to do it, hopefully legally, and then just put a little bit of money and go gamble. But doing it in the stock market or guessing, you know, red or black in the stock market, well, no, I'm thinking it through. No, you're not. You're sitting and reading negative press reports all the time, which is exactly why over this last 6 years, people have stayed out of the market, because we're clever by half. We've got it all figured out, as the British say, clever by half. We've outfoxed ourselves, and that's what we do over and over and over again. So you're so right, Kevin. It's much more difficult to actually do in practice than it is to say. But we can do it.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, talking about news about your money. You can reach Dave at the Pezzo Center. Pezzo Center, Pezzo Finance, Twitter, Facebook, and Money Matters here every Saturday at 580 KIDO. Are we getting a little loosey-goosey with our credit? I remember during the bleak times, you and I would every, you know, day we would seemingly talk about this, and it seemed like Americans were learning. Now it seems that, except if you're buying a house, the credit has loosened up. We hear these ads where go to Cabbage and you don't need anything down and we're going to give you free money with low interest rates. Where are we economically as far as lending?
Better than it was, okay. But, Kevin, I agree with you. I think there's some dangers out there. The biggest danger area so far is, say, cars to people that shouldn't be getting a lot of debt on a car. And by the way, can I just quickly aside here? Nobody should put debt on a car. It means you can't afford it. So you shouldn't be buying things you can't afford. That's how you get into debt, and that's how you get to retirement without enough money. It's how you get to a place where you'd like to start your own business. But no, you're going to always have to work for somebody because you never accumulated any capital. So it's a freedom question. But if you want to be enslaved to a vehicle that rusts out and depreciates in value, then cool, go ahead and borrow. But you will always be enslaved to that. But at any rate, what I'm trying to say, what am I trying to say here?
You're very passionate about this, and rightfully so. But what scares me is a lot of us and a lot of folks that you've talked to, that you counsel, those scary times.
Oh,
scary
and the
darn
credit,
times,
on
right?
Credit. So on cars, it's gotten really bad. Sorry about that. I get a little fired up on the credit side.
You know something? It's okay to be real, which you do every Saturday. It's okay. We're just having a conversation here.
Appreciate it. But I do. That's the area I see the biggest problem is in automobile, where we're trying to get people in cars that shouldn't be in cars. And that is a huge problem area. But it's small compared to what we were talking about with houses. Can you get a liar loan? No. Can you even hardly get a loan, even if you deserve to get a loan? It's so hard. We work with our clients trying to get loans on various property when they move into a new one. It is horrible what the banks put them through, the mortgage brokers put people through. Horrible.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how much paper you put in front of them, it's not enough. And so I think that it's actually too hard to get a loan right now. And so I don't think there's any danger on that side. But, Kevin, yes, it's leaked in on the automobile side.
More coming up with Dave Pezzo. We're going to talk housing here in the Treasure Valley, plus what to look out for within the markets and your 401ks, your IRAs. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Good morning and welcome to 580KIDO. Kevin Miller with our friend Dave Pezzo. And, I look at all the housing going on, the building here in the Treasure Valley, and it's quite a different world than what we saw just a few years ago, where we had these vast, soon-to-be subdivisions with maybe a house in it, partial building. We discussed this many times. I believe that we can't discuss this enough. When we had, Ada County, we had housing values cut by 30 or 40%, in Canyon County by 50%.
Yeah, yeah.
We seem to be coming back, but your thoughts on the housing boom here in the Treasure Valley, are we managing it better than we did the last time?
In my opinion, absolutely, no doubt about it. And that's whether you tried to screw it up managing it, right? You can't, because it's governed by economics, and it's governed by the practical ability for people to go out here and buy bare ground with multi-year projects and or option it and come up with enough financing. Nobody's lending on that kind of stuff. So are people going to put up that much cash? No. So projects are smaller. They're more manageable. If few investors get together and they've got it covered, a little bit of bank debt, okay, cool. But it's really all together. The answer is no. I think it's managed very, very well right now. Looks good, and it's balanced. It's balanced between smaller homes. It's not all the $400,000 McMansions all in Eagle, Idaho.
All on floating feathers?
Exactly. That's not all that's being done out there. I find it fascinating, as you know.
I heard you were moving out to floating feather.
That's right, yeah.
The Pezzo Mansion there. You're going to have like five of them.
I'm sticking right here in Boise.
Right.
But, Kevin, it's so varied around the valley. You have a little bit of a comeback, as we talked about, in Canyon County. So that's good. It's coming up a little bit there. Lower end housing. And then on the same time, you've got $1 million condos that are on fire in downtown Boise. Is that too much? Maybe. But that's okay. I'm not going to worry about that. People who can afford $1 million condos,
get your money back.
That's not going to be a problem.
I mean, in New York City, you would, I suppose. But in real estate markets here, entirely different. I get if it's brand new, but a couple of years later, is that $500,000 going to be worth $300,000 to somebody buying it?
You know what? I think in many cases, people don't worry about it. But here's my advice when it comes to housing.
Of course, if you have that money, you're right. You don't worry about it. Right?
Live where you want to live, because real estate, I just had this discussion over the weekend, real estate is it is not an investment. Sorry, but it's not. Commercial, yes. But residential, not. And no, rentals aren't either. because they just depreciate too quickly in value and it costs too much to keep them up. And nowadays, the big problem that people never measure or talk about is the fact of how high property taxes are. They're absurdly high. This is not, maybe we're less in New York City. I don't know, but it's ridiculous.
I don't know. You travel a lot. Maybe you are checking out property values there in New York.
Well, and as I think I told you this, I was in Chicago looking at a building not too long ago.
Right.
And the price per square foot for this building, and that's a trophy building right in the loop.
Right.
But it was $12 per square foot for the taxes only.
I was going to say $12 a square foot. That's a great deal for the taxes.
For taxes only. Unbelievable when you think about this. So, you know, you're talking about firms paying $40, $50 a square foot in this building. Incredible.
You know, all things Dave Pezzo here with Kevin Miller in the morning. We were talking last week with Senator Crapo and Congressman Simpson about this fast-track authority that has been debated. Every president has had it, yet this president seems to treat the legislative branch and the judicial branch, you know, kind of like a rubber stamp, if you will. But let's say the president gets this, and, you know, we're talking about bringing, you know, making Idaho more globally competitive when we're talking about, you know, markets for technology and milk and, you know, not bread, but potatoes and dairy and such. How much of an impact would that have if we could have some type of fair exchange? You know, that's the problem with some of these agreements. It's maybe free, but it's not fair as far as the economic impact of allowing us to compete globally.
You know, the only thing, first of all, free trade is the cornerstone of growing your economy. It is one of the cornerstones. Okay. You know, obviously, free pricing and things like that are important as well. But without free trade, we don't. So in many ways, Kevin, yes, it sounds good, but it always, to me, sounds like a political statement. Well, politicians are saying, we want free trade, because who doesn't? Because they all know that the other side of that is not good. So it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. But then, on the other hand, we need it to be fair. What does that look like, though, to politicians? I mean, it sounds like a great statement. But nobody ever really defines what exactly does that look like. Now, I recognize we know it when we see it. But to me, the truth of it is in free trade and, quote, better or more fair trade, is not defined by every single item you're trading has to have a specific, you know, margins or what have you, however they want to figure out what it is. But overall, the overall piece, and yes, that's going to disenfranchise, say, farmers of one particular crop versus what's being imported. But as long as it's balanced overall, then I think that's as fair as you're going to get. All economies that are making things, like ethanol, that shouldn't be made, we shouldn't be making it, it's not economically viable, it's stupid. And so that is a deterrent to growth of our overall economy. Oh, hey, the Iowa farmers for corn, love it! Love it. Hey,
a big subsidy.
Good for them. Right. Great for them. Great for our Archer Daniels. Awesome. More corporate welfare for them. I'm sure they're padding the pockets all over D.C. to keep that alive. But it's a bad idea. And this is the same thing as when we make anything in this country because of protection, then we don't make it as well. It is a deterrent. It is not right in the system. Obviously, we can't get to complete freedom. Doesn't work quite. People want more, quotes, fairness or gentle, kinder. But the truth is, the closer to truly fair or free trade, we get, the better the economies of the whole world do.
Dave Pezzo, anything that we should be looking out for in the coming weeks? We're getting ready for Memorial Day, getting ready for the summer slowdown. Yet, you know, everybody else is working. So what should we be looking out for?
Well, Kevin, this is when we get in these tumultuous periods like this, and it's not particularly tumultuous, but it feels a little bit volatile, where a company like Apple comes out with great earnings, spikes for a day, and then boom, you know, it's 10% lower as we're sitting here talking about it.
Sounds like a good time to buy.
Boom, exactly. Nibble. Quit worrying about it. Don't trade great stocks. And that's what we need to do. Look for those opportunities and think like a Warren Buffett does. When a stock is for sale, pick it up. Don't worry about catching the bottom price. And own them for the long term, and you really do win. It's the easiest, hardest game.
Dave Pezzo, Money Matters, right here on 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436.
Internet Gurus Hotline. First name, please.
Small.
Last name.
Business.
Okay, Mr. Small Business, what's the issue?
I'd like to buy social media.
Sir, social media is not bought. It's earned. We can help you determine objectives for audience engagement and measure effectiveness. 5,000 now, 5,000 on delivery in 90 days. No guarantees, void where prohibited. Once you sign the contract, we own you and your family for the next 10 years. Any questions?
What?
Finding the right team to help your business with social media can be overwhelming. Welcome to Town Square Interactive. Problem solved.
In today's business environment, it's critical to have a social media plan that you can perform with precision. Contact Town Square Interactive. Local connections, no big fees, no contracts, just results. TownSquareInteractive.com or call Shane at Town Square Media Boise, 275-8157. That's...
And as promised, I am live this hour, and I would love to hear from you at 580-5436. That's 580-KIDO. And also, if you prefer email, fire away. Dave at petsofinancial.net. .net. And, you know, of course, again, these are my opinions only. Not the station, broker-dealer, and on, and we're not here to figure out what to buy, or sell. We're here to hopefully grow and think about things in a little different way. You know, there is so much noise. It is, and as I talked about in the last hour, so much noise is not clarifying. And just a great example was actually yesterday. When, of course, the market goes up nicely, and after the jobs report. So the headlines then chase the reasoning for the increase. And, of course, it's always more complicated than a simple bullet point. And like I tweeted out yesterday, if the jobs report was terrifying, which was some of the headlines were worried about. Now the Federal Reserve is going to jump back in. Why did bond yields go down? Because bond yields going down, what that means is that people are concerned about the economy, or they're not at all concerned about inflation. Okay. And so understand that bonds have been. The yields have been going up a lot lately, a lot. And they've been going up a lot globally. Now, I know people don't really think they're a lot when you move from, you know, 0.05 clear up to 0.8 or even to point and then pull back to 0.5. That's still, I mean, you know, percentage-wise is a monstrous move, and it's a huge move, period, in a short period of time. So interest rates have been moving all over the place. And so the jobs numbers, if there's so many new jobs being created, wouldn't we be worried about inflation? Of course. So the bond rally, I'm sorry, the interest rate rally, meaning the bonds are getting whacked. It's not a rally, it's the opposite for bonds. Remember, bond prices go up when interest rates go down. Think teeter-totter. And when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. So interest rates have been going up a lot, and that you would think would continue, wouldn't you? But that's not it. So we chase the headlines. And so it's not that you can't ever look at a headline, but the reality is how informative is that when they're pretty much always wrong? It's not the reason, or it's not the full reason. And they can't really talk about it because it's maybe everybody was expecting a jobs report that was, I don't know, really bad. And so they were mispositioned. They were short, say, stocks, and then they covered them and the market rallied and this is going to be a one-day wonder or I don't know. but it's more complicated than a headline. Always. Always. You know, and I think the thing that strikes me with the news lately is how much we are, yeah, it's not just the silliness, you know, of the blood moons and all this stuff. It's not, or the, you know, this expert over here finally comes clean with whatever, you know, devastating information. Warren Buffett's worried about whatever, fill in the blank, right? All that stuff. That's all nonsense and noise, and we get that. But one of the things that is, you know, to me, absolutely amazing is how constantly negative, how constantly calling the top market commentators are. It's just, it's endless. And it doesn't matter that they called the top 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. They keep calling it. And they keep dredging up the same thing. I was reading a piece by Bill Gross, you know, the Vaughn King, who obviously has fallen quite a bit from that. But at any rate, it's a quite a negative piece. And interestingly, I remember seeing him at the old Rukeyser conferences in Las Vegas 10, 15 years ago, basically talking about the same stuff. Seriously, continuing to talk about how the market was going to sell off, the market was too high. It's amazing. And really bringing up the thing, well, this time for sure. And it is amazing to me how many people are trying to call this when it really isn't important to call. Call a top? It's a temporary top. It pulls back. And then we go to new all-time highs. Always have. But pulling money out, as we discussed, and trying to bring it back in, just in the nick of time, it is tax inefficient, and it won't work. It never has. But it parades around as an important part of the financial analysis. Now, when we take that and you simply ask this question, why can't it keep growing if, in fact, the world is still growing? Why won't the market ultimately just keep growing? With bumps. But this idea of trying to call top is why people have been left out of the market. So many people have been left out. So much cash on the sidelines. So much. Missed. Guessing. Fear. So much money put into things like equity indexed annuities that won't work. They promise not to work. They say all kinds of stuff, but they can't work. Because we're fearful of all of these people calling a top instead of just riding the growth of the world, the growth of the great corporations in a growing world. That's why it's so important. It's not just, you know, oh, you're just Pollyannish, or you just think it'll all be okay, or whatever you want to case it in as if it's a it's an easy little box to put somebody who thinks it'll be okay. Oh, they're just a little optimistic. Isn't that cute? Isn't that nice? Isn't that right? Because the world keeps growing. It keeps growing. And great corporations keep growing. Earnings, dividends, cash flows. There's nothing bizarre, weird, or casino-ish about the market. It works. And it has our whole lives. Calling tops is simply foolish. It is just absolutely foolish. It loses so much money. It gains so much press. But it's a foolish game. It's not just this thing that just sits out there and it's, oh, well, it's just, you know, it's just interesting. No, it's not interesting. It's frightening for people, and they buy inappropriate products, and they leave the market. And they go into things that don't even earn the rate of inflation. And they live too long. Their costs go up, and they don't have enough money. It's not just commentary. It's important. It's important to learn and train ourselves to, not just to see, because it is easy for me to see, okay? It is. I get that. But this is what I do. So I see the foolishness. I see the misguided, if you will, reporting. Oh, let's grab a headline. Let's twist it negative. Let's inflate the headline. Market's crashing. Or, you know, is it ever, you know, market down a little bit? Market's pretty quiet today, hardly moving around. But it's crashing when it's like down, you know, 0.25. The triple-digit decline is barely over 0.5% now. Does it all the time. But that's not the headline. Headline, that would be a non-attention-grabbing, non-selling headline. It is important, and it's important for us to catch ourselves. And as I said, we need to understand that what we know isn't worth knowing. It is priced in. Here's the key. Here's the other side of that coin, though. Okay? Here's the magic. What we know isn't worth knowing broadly. But if the market takes what we know and really massages it, right? Like, we're really worried about oil, like I touched on earlier. Oil is down from, and it's at 45. It can't go any lower. Nobody will ever drill for oil again. Our oil renaissance is over. And you start that chant, right? And it permeates everything. And then you soon get into a bidding war of, quotes, commentators that are bidding, outbidding each other for how low it can go. I think it can go to $30. I think it can go to $20. Oh, yeah, take that. I think it can go in the teens. And they try to outbid each other the same way they did when oil went to $120. It's going to go to $150. It's going to go to $200. Do I hear $300? Do I hear $400? Do I hear Armageddon, end of the world, sold to the guy who is sure we're all going to die? That's the way it is. Because if you make a big call like that and you're wrong, nobody cares. But if you happen to be right and you're the most negative guy out there, then you get paraded around and you can start making the big bucks. It's nutty. But all of this then feeds on itself to make incredible, so the market, what we know is, oil prices are down, but now we're pricing energy companies for Armageddon, for going out of business. This is where true bargains are made. You don't have to guess the bottom. It can be overshot. And even if oil prices stay down, it isn't necessarily Armageddon. Not for all of them. And so they can overprice and often do. So the magic, the secret sauce is this, is if you can move yourself in a contrarian way to say, I know energy prices are down, and the world is overpricing it. I know that the economy is bad, and they're overpricing it. This is why, say, in the midst of a terrible recession, stocks start to move higher because they've more than priced in. Yeah, like 2009. Stocks moved up in 45% in 90 days. Can you imagine? 45%. In 90 days, as the economy worsened, every single report, higher unemployment, bigger deficits than expected, every single economic report got worse. But the market had overshot, as it always does, when we are so sure and we all know what we know. Then the fear can pile up and the concern so that prices get so low that, no, that things don't get better. They just don't get worse. They don't have to get better for prices to jump. Or in the case of the opposite, right, when we get too euphoric about a company, they can announce great news and watch the stock go down or go nowhere because it's overshot on the upside. So the magic really is what we know isn't worth knowing. Yes, that's true. It's priced. Now, have they overpriced it? That's the key. That's the key to finding bargains. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Would love to take your calls. Please do give us a call, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you prefer email, that would be fine. But right now, let's go to the phone. Let's go to Margaret. Margaret, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
In knowing, how do I go about investigating an online investment firm?
An online, you mean like Schwab or TD Ameritrade, things like that?
No, this is a newer one. It's called Betterment. I've never heard of it.
Okay.
My kids
Investing. First of all, the licensing requirements are very, very thorough. So I would simply check and make sure that they were licensed. And I think you can do that by Googling. And but I don't know the company, so I apologize for that. Is it like a robo-advisor or anything like that?
They call it an automated investment firm.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you input data, and then they come up with answers for how you should be investing your money, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I would that's difficult right now because there's not much history to these. Okay? They're all popping up all over the place. So, getting much information on them, you're not going to. There just isn't much out there. So there are a few articles that appear from time to time, so you can Google them, and I would do is Google robo advisors. And see what you come up with, and maybe some publications like the Wall Street Journal. Known publications may have an article or two that may be put together. Three or four of the bigger firms ran numbers through them and may have some commentary for you. But right now, there's really not much you can do because there's really no history here. So how are you really going to say, wow, they've done good or bad? You don't know. We don't know yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll do that then.
Okay. Sorry, Margaret.
Well,
but
that's okay.
I think it's probably legitimate, but you can
mm-hmm.
certainly find out that, too,
mm-hmm.
by, check out their website and make sure that they've got the SIPC, Securities Investor Protection Corp, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And you should be fine in that way. But as far as telling you whether you can check it out, not yet. They're all brand new. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Margaret.
You're welcome. Bye.
Have a great day. Good question. This is going to be coming up more and more. There's no doubt about that. This is a very, very up-and-coming thing is going to be these robo-advisors. I personally think that, as I've discussed many times in different areas, artificial intelligence is a big deal. It's real. It's going to get better and better. And that's what's really going to end up driving, I think, some of this. I don't know what's going to happen in the advisory business. It is, to me, is an amazing and an interesting time. But I do know this. Robo-advisors are here to stay, and it is going to have a major impact. A major impact. I don't think firms are necessarily going away, some, but the marginal advisor is. Prices are coming down for sure. They have been coming down. The end of the industry? I don't know. I don't think so. people like humans, but not at any price, right? So I think prices are going to come down and have been, and I think they will continue to do so. At any rate, let's go ahead and catch up on our breaks here and give people a chance to give us a call. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, and we'll be right back after Fox News.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petso, and thank you again for joining us. Our number here is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. Also, that's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I got to say, I've so thoroughly enjoyed spending time. It's so different. It's different for us guys. I know women love babies and I've kind of always been, you know, pretty okay. They're fine. You know, who doesn't like babies? But it's not, you know, most guys are more, we're, you know, hey, when they start doing stuff, then we can go do stuff with them, and it's fun. But, you know, I became a grandpa about 3 months ago for the first time, and so I've been visiting frequently. And it's just a really different thing for me. It's just so different to just stop and basically be doing not much of anything except, you know, holding a baby, watching mom take care of a baby. It's such a slow, different thing and such a wonderful thing. It's just, I don't know, those of you who have been grandparents for a while, you get what I'm talking about. But for this guy, this was really a new thing to just slow down so much. And, you know, I've always had a very high-paced hurry and get things done kind of a thing, and now it's just hurry up and sit down and do nothing. So this is a real different thing, but what a fun thing and to enjoy. So thank you for putting up with me on the phone today and the recording in the first hour, but I hope you did enjoy it. And thank you, Don and Trudy, for sending the confirmation. We will continue our education segment. Thank you for that. I really just appreciate all of you and your comments of helping us to determine what type of a program you would like. Right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ron in Weezer. Ron, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I appreciate your current format also. I heard a deal on Tuesday that was kind of interesting. Gentleman on your favorite show on TV, an expert, saying that oil will not go back to 100 anytime soon. And his reasoning was that when they first started drilling in North Dakota several years ago, the cost per barrel was $100. And due to technology in the last few years, it's now $60.
Right.
And I thought I hadn't heard that before, and I suppose it's easy to verify, and I just thought your listeners might not all be aware of it. I certainly wasn't. And that's the only thing I wanted to bring up.
Well, I'm glad. I appreciate that, Ron. And it's a really valid point. But the overall cost, it is a valid point because but the cost of it does not mean necessarily the cost of getting it that the price is going to come down. It also has to be available, right? It's really the scarcity. But the cost of pulling oil out of the ground has gone down so much because of technology. And we now have, we can extract oil and natural gas from places we never could before because of the new fracking techniques. It's not so much fracking. It's fracking with the horizontal drilling. It's both, right? It's that combination that allows us to get it out of places that aren't there. But it's really a supply-demand, not underlying cost, because some companies have been, you know, especially the Canadians, have very expensive, especially the oil sands, very expensive to extract oil. But that does not mean they're just sitting around losing money when prices are this low.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. But it's a very interesting point. And I think that we do that all the time. We do it really with everything, right? I talk about abundance and the fact that we miss so much, not just because we walk around with a frown on our face. I think that's, you know, I think that's rather important in life. But it's also really important to understand that if we always see what's wrong and we see the world in a linear way rather than an exponential way, like technology, we miss the greatness. We miss the marvel of, and we miss how, really in hindsight, how easy it was to solve so many of the problems that people are completely convinced are going to wipe us out. Or be really hard for us to get past. And part of that, for example, I mean, one of the simple ones is to look at is, as Ron points out, the oil. And how much the price is going down makes it worthwhile to pull more out, thus creating more supply. And with that additional supply, we keep prices down. Now, I always have to say this, too. I think we got to be careful with oil's not going to go back to certain price levels. Well, nobody thought it would jump up from the 40s to $60 this fast, right? We had a 25% rise in prices of oil in April alone, if you can imagine that. Isn't that amazing? That's a stunning turnaround when, as we talked about before, everybody was so certain of one thing, which was what? But what we know isn't worth knowing, right? We all know that energy prices are down and going to stay down until they don't. And it is very interesting, to say the least, how certain people can be in their convictions of what's going to happen with energy prices. Ron, thank you again. I really appreciate your call and appreciate the comment. You're absolutely right. Although prices are going to be determined by supply and demand, not the actual cost of getting it out of the ground, the fact that you have a lower cost to get it out of the ground means people will be pulling more out and be profitable, therefore giving us plenty of supply of energy. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We're going to be right back after a break.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's Oh. Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Really would love to have you on the phones. We've got plenty of time left in today's program. And please do shoot us a call at 580-5436. That's 580-KIDO. And also, if you do prefer email, that's dave@petsofinancial.net. And as part of that, I know we have a lot of folks who have been listening to our podcast. So, again, those are available on our website or through the Apple Store. So you can actually have them downloaded automatically there and enjoy them anytime you're out and about. Love to hear from you if you have any comments, questions. Those folks who are listening to podcasts obviously aren't really participating in the questions and all during the show. So if you have any of those, shoot them over to us at PetsoFinancial.com. That is our website, and you can certainly get a hold of us there, as well as articles and calculators to help you with your financial planning there. But the email address to reach us live in the program is dave@petsofinancial.net. N-E-T. All right. Let's go to one right now, and that is, Dave, approximately how much cash is sitting outside the markets currently? And how would that money infusion affect the markets? Great question, and one that is I often talk about and ponder. And we'll come back to that. Any comments on the labor strife in some of Buffett's holdings? Well, no, not really any comments there. I don't. You know, there's labor strife in various places. I think that we have to be careful. I quote Warren Buffett all the time. And I think he's got some great things to say about things, but there's an awful lot that I find troubling. You know, for example, his stance on on taxes, how people should be paying, like him, should be paying more, but then he does everything to not pay more. You know, people are free to not pay more if they want to, and they're also more than free to go ahead and quit trying to pay as little as possible. But Buffett, on one hand, says we need to pay more, should pay more, but refuses to. So some of the labor strife, things like that, yeah, I recognize that some of those things can be a little bit, I don't know, they can be difficult to think about in regards to his some of the things he says. So, again, Warren Buffett is a bright manager, and I quote him all the time. I think he's got a great way about him, and he obviously has done very well. But we all also have to take some of the things he says with a grain of salt, for sure. Now, as far as the cash, though, that's, to me, is this is, you know, wow, this is a big thing, and this is one of the things that I've really felt has been a continued driver in the market, because there's so much cash sitting on the sidelines. And the answer is it's over $10 trillion. $12 to $13 trillion is sitting on the sidelines. This is in our country alone. Some of it on corporate balance sheets, and many trillions of dollars are sitting outside the United States because we refuse to have reasonable tax reform. So companies have kept that money outside the United States, outside. And it's crazy. It's crazy. They've had bill after bill. The Congress has put up bill after bill to try to get the president to lower the confiscatory tax rates that we have and get these companies to bring money back to the United States. He won't move it. So we're just stuck. We're going to have to wait another couple of years, and those trillions will be over there. However, here's the answer. Some trillions of dollars will be outside the market all the time. All the time. For ongoing needs, emergency funds, those types of things. And corporations aren't going to be putting it into stock. Maybe they'll put it into their own stock, and that's what many companies have done, however. But they're not going to be buying other companies, for sure. Now, it doesn't take a lot. You know, I think the overall market is 20-some trillion dollars of market capitalization. If a few trillion dollars on top of the normal trillions that are out there trading all the time come into the market, it's a market mover. Companies that are making gobs of money, and when their stocks go down a little bit, they're going to be in there buying, that puts a floor on it as well. So there's having all of this cash out there really, to me, is a fundamentally gigantic deal. And, Ken, I look at the markets overall. This is a fascinating question to me overall, what you're going to do with money. Ken, you and I and any individual that wants to, you can go out and you can put your money in cash. You can hide it under your mattress. You can decide that what I want to do is I want to have negative real returns on my capital. That's what I want. I want to slowly watch it go away. That is your personal choice and my personal choice. But nobody's going to hire you to do that. And that's why I think it's been a driver for the markets, because pension funds, endowments, have been putting money back to work in the markets because that cash that's sitting out is earning negative real returns. You have to earn some money on that money. And on top of that cash that's sitting there, it's not a finite amount. Corporations, the world, individuals are generating even more as they work and the economy continues to grow. And so it continues, the pile keeps growing. And so this money has not found its way, by and large, into the market. So when I hear about these commentators, you know, like I mentioned Bill Gross earlier, talking about this, you know, the overly bullish environment, I don't know what he's talking about. I really don't. Yes, stock prices are at all-time highs. Yes, we've had a massive run over the last 6 years. But the idea that investors are out there just giddy and margining up their accounts is crazy. There's $12 trillion sitting out there in cash earning negative returns. Investors are not giddy at all. And that money has been working its way back into the market a little bit. And I still, because the percentages of cash and fixed investments to stocks is finally turning in the corner a little bit, and these pensions and endowments are actually investing some more money than they did a few years back. But it is certainly not a bullish or a robust even statement as far as how much these investors have in stocks. Great question. I think it's still a big driver. And it is in fact keeps what's sometimes called a put on the market, and that put is that if prices come back, that cash gets put to work, and so it creates natural buyers in the market, and I think has stopped this market from having the normal, 10-15% corrections that markets have. We just haven't had one in ages. Ken, great question. Appreciate it very much. We are going to take a quick break here, our final break, and I do hope you all will give us a call. It's 580-5436. That's 580-KIDO. If you will, if you prefer, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. When I look at all of the noise out there, and I look at all the concern about energy prices, or should we be concerned about Greece, or should we be concerned about what's going on with bonds, because they did bounce around a lot last week. Don't get me wrong. That was really something, what happened last week with fixed income. Especially, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Wednesday or Thursday when rates turned around in the middle of the day and moved humongous percentages in both directions, just back and forth. So there's clearly a lot of trading going on. But it is interesting, isn't it, that we are certain about some things like the dollar, right? The dollar is going to be getting stronger and stronger. And that was 100% sure at the end of the year. And it 100% hasn't happened. Because when we're so sure, we've, again, already priced and maybe overdone. And so maybe some of this movement back and forth is simply hedge funds and leveraged vehicles that were mispositioned and are now getting back positioned. We'll see. We'll see. It's fascinating, to say the least. Let's go ahead and go to the phone. Let's go to Tolley. Tolley in Caldwell. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, it's good to talk to you, Dave. I'm 50 years old, working towards retirement, hopefully at 65. One of the things I've been thinking through recently is, do I need to adjust the assumptions I make on investment earnings and what will be available for Social Security? So I'd like to hear you talk about how would you counsel someone to estimate their earnings? So would you estimate 8% on earnings before retirement, 6% after? What percentage of Social Security do you think you can count on? All those assumptions that make such a huge difference in accumulating wealth for retirement.
Excellent questions. There's a couple of things that we have to really think in terms of, too. And unless there's something, a person's terribly unhealthy, then forget about dying prior to actually somewhere around age 100 with the medical advances being so exponential. We really need to rethink this a lot. And the idea that people are going to be in nursing homes with Alzheimer's because they're there so long, I just don't think that's all going to happen. So some of these things are great. They're wonderful. But we need to really change our dynamic of how much money and how we need because of how long we're going to be living in retirement. So two things. I don't think there's any problem with you working until you're 70 or older if you are healthy and if you can stand your job. So
yeah, I got a problem with that, though.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to work that long.
But I got you. That's no problem. That's all right. So having said that, here's what I would do. I like your assumption of 8. I'm good with that. I'm good with pre-8. But post-6 is two different things. I think as far as a draw rate, 6 is too high. Okay.
Yeah, I was talking about after I retire, assuming that I would earn 6% when I go to a more conservative portfolio.
Right. I don't have a problem with that. How much are you going to be drawing?
Well, a lot of that depends on how much Social Security is there.
Right.
So that's
but on Social Security, what you're doing there is that if you let it grow until age 70, it grows 8% per year now. You freeze right. that when you stop, when you start drawing it. So be very careful not to start Social Security too early unless you've got ample other assets, okay?
Yeah.
The draw rate on those other assets, so if you're figuring it out, this is the way you reverse it around. How? What are my assumptions? Well, my assumptions need to be based on what your needs are. And your needs are not what you think they are. They're worth what you're actually spending, right? So
right.
be realistic about what you're spending. Go and check. And then also realistic about the things you want to pursue with the extra time that you're going to have. So putting that all together, you back that into a number in today's dollars, okay? You can inflate it by 2 or 3%, whatever you're comfortable with for inflation.
I use 3.
What's that?
I said I've been using 3.
Okay, good. I like that. So take today's numbers, inflate them in the future, and then once you get your number, then what you're going to say is how much capital do I need? And I would take that number, your annual income need, right? Divide
yep.
that by 5. 5% is what I think your draw rate can be.
Okay.
Now, there's many people that say it's 4. There's others that say it's less than 4. Okay? Play around with those numbers. Nobody knows the future. I feel comfortable still with 5 if it's done wisely. And wisely, I don't mean by market timing either. Okay?
Sure.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being wise in setting it up. And I can't dive into that. We've talked about that many times before. But and we sure will again. Okay?
Do you think it's necessary for me to factor down my Social Security by a certain percentage?
To do what now?
To factor down Social Security. So if Social Security was going to pay me X amount, say I think the government is going
to. Oh, and to say it might be less in the future?
Yeah, and so I may only
think that's wise. But yes, take what you have and take it down just a little bit. And I'm sorry, we're running out of time here. I appreciate
okay.
that.